Hi, everyone. Thanks for coming. I'm one of the SRE leads at Microsoft Azure. And my goal today is to talk a little bit about how we can use bots actually to save money during incidents and actually let the bots do the heavy lifting and the team don't need to worry too much, right? So doesn't matter how good work we do as SRE, if you try to make our service more reliable, more stable, more available, even though we're gonna still have like a lot of incidents, or at least some incidents, right? And these incidents can actually, it's gonna happen, and sometimes can run longer. I don't know if you have noticed, but actually some incidents seems that they long longer, some even longer and longer, right? And our goal should be really try to crush the downtime minutes. It means that we should really try to have not these incidents run longer, but actually in a short time. What's the reason for that? Because actually the incidents or the outages, actually they can cost money and they actually can be catastrophic. If you think on some incidents, they actually can cost a lot of money for the companies. For example, this link that I have here, it is one incident that happened with Delta Airlines that cost for them, because of a compute outage, $150 million. Maybe you can think, oh, my service is not so big, right? I'm not never gonna spend actually at these millions of dollars. But in reality is we have customers, right? Maybe internal customers, external customers, and when you have one of that outages, it can cost money for our company and also for our customers, and sometimes depends on our service for the customers of our customers, right? The second problem is that actually impact on the image of our company and our service. If we start to have like too many outages and that outages start to take longer and longer, what happened that our customers stop to trust in our service, right? And then start to trust in our company. And also it affects the team morale. If our service has too many outages and you need to spend most part of the time, as we saw yesterday morning, as the firefighters that actually just like work in the incidents, sometimes it make like the team morale go down. And even sometimes the people that work in that service may stop to trust in that service itself, right? Because you are spending most part of our time to actually just solve the problems than actually have the service running. So if you want to really help and crush the downtime of our service when you have like an incident, we need to answer that question. Why some incidents take longer? And actually, usually I say that it's happening because of three things. First one, because the incident seems to happen always in the wrong time, right? It's when you have lunch, it is when we are sleeping, if you are in the shower, or sometimes when it's in a conference like that. It is the reason that you have a room outside that you can go if you are on call and you need to work in one of the incidents, right? And it's make that the incidents really run longer, because if you're not ready, if you're not like as the first talk yesterday of LinkedIn mentioned, right, that they have like someone sit in the computer at 6 a.m. so they can work in the incident. But it really doesn't happen in most part of the case, so the incidents start to take longer just because you're not available there. So just in the time that you need to take to the computer, sit down, set our mindset for that incident's already running for a while. Second thing, it is knowledge. Have you noticed that in our team, there is always someone that knows more about the problems than the rest of the team? If he's handled the incidents go quick, right? If I'm in the incident, so now it seems that take longer. I don't have the same knowledge. Maybe because that is the senior person in the team, he knows more the service, or sometimes he's really working more on the incident, so he get that experience. He also has like a lot of good insights. Usually the person that you go and ask, oh, I have that problem, what you suggest? And he say, oh, have you take a look on that component? Maybe that is the issue. So even if he doesn't know how to solve the problem, he knows what the path we try to follow, right? And it's for us, if you wanna solve that problem, we can have that person all the time in the incident. That will not be ideal, right? Or you need to find a way that you can balance the knowledge and have the same knowledge that that person has is spread across the group. And the third thing, it's about the manual tasks. If you think on usually what happened in an incident, until the alert, you have a lot of automation, right? You put a lot of effort on the monitoring, automate the monitoring, have the right alert. when the alert happened, we have a humans now. And then we start to do a lot of manual tasks. Sometimes you use some kind of chat bot, but you're still doing commands on that, and it's required the human to be there to solve that incident. So if we back to the first problem, that is the it's happening the wrong time, so the human is not available, now you have a problem because you cannot really execute or solve that incident because it required manual tasks. So definitely we need help. What can help us? Bots, right? We can use bots that can talk with humans, maybe like C-3PO that can talk with 6 million different languages. Maybe it's a chat bot, can talk with anyone in the company, whatever, any place in the world. Or maybe like more brave and bold bots like the Terminator that can really go for more tough situations and is still gonna be able to solve that problem. We decided in Azure also invest in bot. We call that SRE bot. It has a little cute face that you guys can see here. I'm not going to be talking about the bot directly today. I have the link for two talks that I have done before, one here last year and one in Lisa, that show some of the capabilities that we put in the bot. But today I'm going to be focused more on when you invest into have a bot, whatever the bot it is, how we can really save money and have the bot doing the heavy lift. So the first thing that we make the bot help us was share the knowledge. Let's back for that person, right? That the one that is usually know everything about the service and about the incident. How we could make that same knowledge that he's had available to everyone. So in the bot, you could ask questions like, for example, how many nodes are in maintenance? Or what is the health of that cluster, right? Or for example, how the computer is doing in the West US? The first thing that probably came to your mind is, don't you know about that? Don't you have like a dashboard that you can see how the computer is doing, right? Cannot run some scripts and get the information about how many nodes are in maintenance. And of course, we had all of those things. But if you have like a big team working the incidents and you want to have the things running fast, you don't want to remember what command you need to run, right? What script you need to run. You don't want to remember exactly what dashboard you need to go and see. Even if you have a good documentation in a weak page, you don't want to remember and start to look that information, right? When you go in the bot and you can ask that questions, you have just one single place to go. You go to the bot, you ask that questions, you don't need to remember where it is, and then the bot can answer to you. And when you do that, actually you start to save toil. Even if these tasks take like a few seconds, and when you think in a company or in a service like size of Azure, how many minutes you can save. If you run a script, take like just a few minutes to run. If the bot is already like doing that, can provide that information to you, you ending actually saving dozens of human on toil. And more important, actually, if you are doing that and it's quicker, now I'm reducing the time that I have in the outage. So the first tip, concentrate all the knowledge that you have in just one single place. And what we're really suggesting is concentrate that in the bot. Let the bot be that single place. We started in a very simple way. When you ask a question to the bot just give you the link for that weak page or for that dashboard that you should look at. But you don't need to think about it, where it was. You can automatically get that information, right? And the second tip, really think about natural language. There is a lot of frameworks outside on chatbots, and you have been or haven't seen some of the talks, even in this event, about how chatbots can help. One thing that we noticed that a lot of these chatbots actually concentrate like on a command, right? So you give it a command, although you want in a chat interface, for example, in Slack or in Skype, but it still gives you like a command. It's required you to remember what command you should give, right? And it's kind of required also some kind of knowledge that when you are trying in a rush, you may sometimes forget it, right? So if you try to use natural language and you have like plenty of frameworks available in the market today that can help you to have that, you can let the people naturally ask that. What we did with SRE bot, we offered like a command line and also a natural language so people can choose what the taste that they want to. So that is help us with one of the problems, right? Part of the knowledge that you mentioned. What about the manual tasks and that the incidents happen when you are not available, was not in the best time? So We decided to automate some of these response activities. So let the bot, or the bots actually, some part of the automation, take care of that for us. But more important, it needs to be proactive. If you think that some of the chatbot solutions that you have today, I need to be in Slack, I need to be in Skype so I can give the command, the first problem that we mentioned, that the incidents are happening the wrong time, it doesn't solve it, right? Because I still need to be available, I still need to go to my computer to give commands and start working that incident. So one important key for us was have that bot proactive. So it means that when incident happen, although I'm not available, the machines are, so they can start to work for us, right? So one thing that we did was first work in the impact assessment. First question that we do in one of the incidents in Azure is, how many customers are impacted? Again, probably you're gonna think that, oh, that information was not available in a dashboard or some kind of monitoring. Yeah, it was, right? But again, it's quite a human to again go there and check that. What we did that is, as the incident happened, SRE bot start to collect that information on the logs, on in the dashboard, and summarize the information about the impact and provide that red light on the ticket. So now when the on-call person come to that incident, that information is available to him. And actually can even do more complex scenarios when you have like actually the customer impact of the service that depends on your service, if you have like a microservice architecture. So but the most important question is, when you need that, it really helps us to crush downtime minutes. So I hope this chart help you to see. So the blue bubbles are actually the time that SRE bot took to do the impact assessment. The orange one is when the human did that. Then the X, you see the percentile. So you can see that in most part of the time, for until the 99 percentile, what you have actually is that the bot processes that information almost immediately. And when you have the human doing that, it's rather like take long time, dozens of time more. That it's happening for different reasons. As I mentioned, one of the reasons is just because the human is not available to go there when the incident started and start to process that information, collect that information, right? Sometimes it's just because it's quite a little bit more of knowledge to get that. But the important part is when you do that, when you let the bot do that, we can really save time, right? So after that, we start to think about the more complex scenarios, triage, diagnostics. Of course, we had like some our remediation systems, right, that can work. But when sometimes you have an incident, it's already because part of your remediation didn't work, right? So now we need to have like more scenarios where the human needs to be looking for that information, right, and even take decisions about what the right next step. But why not have the bots do some of that work? Why not let the bot also take some of the decisions? So what we did, we partnership with a team, that actually the compute team, and we start to automate some of that triage and diagnostic work. In the sense that the bot could really take a look to the log, understand what the problem is, and take decisions. For example, it could correlate that with the impact assessment that I just mentioned, and for example, upgrade or downgrade the severity of an incident. It could also figure out that actually that problem is not in my service, it's actually in one of the components that my service depends on, and then transfer that ticket for that team and engage that team and start to work with that team to actually do the diagnostic of the problem and eventually the mitigation, right? So again, the question that is more important is, it is really help us on the time minutes compared to when the human is doing, when the bot is doing the heavy lifting. So again, you have like the percentile on the X, and the blue line is again the bot doing the work, the orange dots are the human doing that. And, but note that now in the Y, we have actually a log base scale. So now you can really see the difference when you get like more complex scenarios, right? You can see that around the 50 percentile, the bot doing the heavy lifting, it is like 10 times faster than a human doing. But when it starts the incidents that take longer, it means that now it's more money, right? More image, more morale of the team involved, then the bot is really doing a much greater work than the humans are doing. Again, the answer is simple, right? When you invest on that kind of automation and intelligence, it is really help. So don't be limited just to the chatbot. Chatbot helps, and we do that, and probably you also, if you don't have it, we suggest you do. But make those things actually more autonomous. Let some of these bots take part of the decisions, like, for example, to identify part of the problems and decide what the next steps are. Because if the human is not available, at least you already like work on this incident. And the other part that we start to work on was actually on the insights. So sometimes you don't know exactly what the problem is, right? Even the human doesn't. You start to look, your automation problem or remediation already like failed for that specific scenario. So we start to look for the problems. You see one component, you look for some logs, and you try to investigate. But if you back for that person that is the most senior person, usually he's going to give us some insights or some tips of places that you can look at, right? So then we start to think why you cannot use machine learning, artificial intelligence, to get some of these insights and let the bot provide that information. So what we did basically was let the bot try to figure out what the component could be affected or could be causing, sorry, that problem that we are seeing. And in our case, for each of these components, you have like a different on-call team work on it. So basically, if the problem, I'm in the service A, and the problem is in the component B, if I need a help now from the component to solve the problem component B, I need to engage that team. So what we did was actually like using machine learning, try to identify what was the component that was affected, and not just now understand that, but proactively provide that information where our on-call engineers are working. In our case, it was a Skype for Business conference. So now what you're seeing here is actually the bot provide that information, say, do you know what? I think the problem is actually the component B, in this case, compute. And actually, what we have here, it is that I think you should at least call those guys and they may help, right? The question again is, it is really help us to save time? So this is a chart that shows us actually the time that you are saving, okay, when we predict that information. And basically what we get here is just the incidents where the bot predicts the right results. So, and comparing the time between that when the bot suggests that and when the human actually would take that decision. And you can see that in the 50 percentile, actually, we are not doing a good job. Actually, the humans do that. So it's usually incidents that's running pretty quick. So part of the automation already take care of that, or actually the knowledge that the DRIs and the humans has, the on-call person has, was enough. But when you take for the incidents that is taking longer now, and you can see that again, it's in the log base, in the really long incidents, the bot can be thousands of times faster than the human because it can correlate much more information, right, and can take like much more signals than actually the humans can. So two tips here. First one, let the bot provide information proactively. So doesn't matter how you get that information, it's come from a knowledge base, if it came from machine learning. If, for example, your on-call team working on Slack, on Microsoft Teams, whatever you use, so provide that information there. Use some of that logic and provide these insights because it can really help the humans take the decisions. And second, try to use machine learning. Try to make the things more intelligent. There is a lot of discussions where machine learning and artificial intelligence really can help on incident management. So I think some of the numbers that you're showing, it's, yeah, it can help. And everyone should take at least a try. It's true that sometimes you're going to do the wrong decisions, as we show in the 50 percentile, you're not really doing a good job, but at least we can continue improving, and it really can help save time mainly in the long incidents. The result of these three initiatives actually help us to save downtime minutes, and I hope that the charts that I show you show how it really can do. It's also increased the team morale. You actually have on-call engineers send us email and say, oh, now that the bots are doing the heavy lifting, our life is much easier, and I'm glad that I can be on call that week because I know that part of the work is going to be done by the bot and don't need to worry too much, although we still need the humans involved, right? So my last tip is, it needs to be extensible. If you look for the chat bots that we have, frameworks, most part of those are read like extensible. But when you think about the other things that you mentioned as well, mainly when you start to handle the knowledge, it is important to think how we're going to make that thing more extensible, because we need more engineers in our team, other SRE teams also contributing to that knowledge. And last one, really think about the autonomous incident management. For me, the ideal world would be when AMI, actually, autonomous incident manager, can take part of the work, right? And you can continue sleeping, have your lunch, or enjoy this kind of conference, right? So my name is Cesar. This is my LinkedIn. This is the easiest way for contact me. And I hope you guys have enjoyed it and you are open for questions.